Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Days marooned in the relegation zone, the Addicts are finally back with a bang. Welcome back to Charlton Live. Charlton Live. Charlton Live. So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, and finally we've got a show where we can look back at a game of football. My name is Louis Mendes. We'll be looking back at yesterday's 1-0 win up at Hull, a massive result that sees us climb back out of the relegation zone, and Jason Pearce's first goal of the season, enough to gain us all 3 points on our return from the coronavirus break. I'm assuming it's our first ever behind closed doors game, but it was certainly a bizarre afternoon up at Hull, but I'm so glad that we came back with all 3 points. Let's bring in some of the chaps who are going to join me on the phone to discuss yesterday's game. First of all, someone who was up there with myself yesterday at the KCOM, it's the grand old man of Charlton Live, Terry Smith. How are you doing, Terry?
Oh, Louis, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Are you recovered from your journey back yesterday? How was your time? What time did you get back?
To be fair, it was fairly easy. I was back by 10. It was back in time for last orders. It was all right.
Yeah, that's not bad. Is there a pub open somewhere?
Yeah, the Smith pub, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was great to see you again yesterday, Terry, in the flesh for the first time in a long time. Also joining us on the phone, we've got a man who hosted a small viewing party in his garden. Is that Mr. Benji Cloak? How are you doing, Ben?
Yes, good. Thank you, Louis.
You had a socially distanced couple of people around to watch the game yesterday. How did that go?
Yeah, it was good fun. It was.
Tell me what you made of the goal, Benji.
I missed the goal. I was in the toilet. Yeah, so whenever we looked like we might have a chance, everyone kept telling me to go back to the toilet. So there you go. A bit of lucky charm going into the next few games.
Benji's lucky.
Like scoring. Benji's
lucky penis. Right, and finally, join us on the phone is Mr. Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Happy as Larry, mate.
Yeah, you got any lucky appendages?
Not that I'm aware of, no. No, maybe just Benji's lucky penis will do.
Yeah, excellent. Well, The show's already gone down a corridor I wasn't expecting it to. So, right, on this evening's podcast, we will, of course, look back then at that result against Hull City. We'll hear the Valley Pass highlights in a few moments' time. We're also going to hear our socially distanced post-match interview with Lee Bowyer. Slightly strange circumstances. Basically, after the game finished, normally me and Terry would be walking down to the... you know, to the pitch side to go and speak to Bo, but obviously in the current circumstances we had to do it differently. So we stayed in our seats, logged into Zoom conference that the club sent us the details for, and then Lee Bowyer was sat in front of a laptop somewhere else in the stadium, but we got to speak to him. So the sound quality from our questions isn't perfect, but Lee sounds really good, so I'm looking forward to playing you guys that as well. We've got a few tweets and emails that have come in over the course of the afternoon, which I'll share on the show as well. I was hoping that we'd be able to do this this podcast live, but having promised out on Thursday, I then thought I'd best do my weekly check of the stream, and sure enough, it's finally gone down. I've been checking it the entire time we've been off and it's been fine. Then I checked it on Thursday, it's gone down, and it's quite hard to get in contact with the guy who looks after it for us, because basically he does it for free. So I don't expect him to be at my beck and call at all times. So hopefully we'll be back to live shows at some point if I can get a hold of him. But for now, we're more than happy to keep doing these podcasts to look back at a fine 1-0 win. So Terry, just before we hear your highlights from Valley Pass, a bizarre day, but I mean, what did you make of it?
Yeah, bizarre's about right. I mean, from minute one, really. Getting up there and having to do the temperature test and walking all sorts of places that you had to, rather than going where we drift in. It was it was strange from the get go, really, and tough for me, because they wouldn't let you in the lift, so I had to climb the whole 170,000 steps to get to the top. So I needed an iron lung when I got there. But apart from that, yeah, and no crowd. It surreal, I think, but. Once the gate got going, you sort of a little bit forgot that there was no crowd, a little bit. I mean, it was still evident, but... and then the guys just put in a shift. I mean, it wasn't spectacular. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't... I don't think you could nail it as our best performance ever, but it was right for the time. I think that's probably the best way I can sum it up. Yeah. We needed to show some character. We needed to show that we come back from this extended break and an unexpected break with the right frame of mind, and I think we did.
Yeah, I mean, Benji, I'll come on to asking you what it was like to, you know, have to sit back and watch the game on a stream, which obviously we haven't had to do before. But I mean, just in terms of the performance and the result, what did you make of our afternoon's work?
Oh, I thought it was a really well drilled, organised performance. You could tell a lot of preparation had gone in from it, from Bowyer, because I think when the team sheet came out, we were all a bit confused as to who was playing where, as I don't think Oshilaja had ever played left-back before. We had Albie Morgan starting, and before, it didn't look like Bowyer had rated him to put him in the side as much, so that was an odd choice, and we went two up front, so slightly optimistic, because, yeah, going two up front, we looked a bit attacking, but... Yeah, it was a very organised performance from well-drilled. I know it sounds silly, but going into the last 10 minutes, obviously the nerves kick in as usual, but just didn't think we'd concede. We had that consistent performance throughout. I think the first 5 minutes, it took us a while to work into the game, but after that, we were passing the ball around so well and just looked really organised. So, yeah, I can't fault the lads there. It was again, just really well-drilled, organised performance, and everyone to a man gave it their all. So that's what we asked for them, especially in a relegation battle game that was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you mentioned, I mean, Oshilaja playing at left-back. I got sent sort of like a tactics board at when I was looking for team news. And saw that he'd be playing there along with Morgan on the left side. I thought, oh, that's strange. But Bowyer does speak about that in his post-match interview, and it is clearly a plan. And he does like to see how the opposition do things and look to counter that. And Tom, and obviously, you know, coming out of this lockdown situation into our first game, we never really knew what to expect. You know, how fresh the team would be, whether they'd be a little bit off it because they hadn't played for so long. And then to go into a game of the magnitude that we did. I mean, I'm just glad that it's clear that we seem to have returned from this enforced break in a lot better shape than Hull City have.
Yeah, I think Benji put it well when he said organised. I think they were organised, they were disciplined. And you're right, you know, I've seen enough of the football since its return that all teams have started quite sluggish and just trying to pick up the pace. And again, as Benji says, for that first 5 minutes, I thought we did weather a little bit of a storm. And that's not a surprise, you know, with the likes of Malik Wilkes in their side getting forward and taking on our defenders. But when we sort of rode that out and settled into our rhythm, as both the other guys have said, it wasn't our best performance in the world, but it was a disciplined performance. It was organised, and it was the performance we needed at that side. Because once we got ahead, I completely agree with Benji. I never really felt like we were going to concede. I had the usual nerves that you do as a fan, but you look back at the game now, and we were so solid around that defensive area, so solid, and we looked dangerous on the break. And I think it was yet another clinical performance where we didn't create a huge amount, but we took our chance and sat in. And for a team that hasn't played for 100 days, as you say, there have been plenty of examples of teams that have put in very shoddy performances over their first games. And I didn't think that was a shoddy performance. It looked organised, they looked fit, they looked hardworking, and they looked like they're all in it together. And that's going to be really key over the remaining 8 games.
Excellent stuff. So let's have a listen then to the highlights of the victory over on Valley Pasture. Your commentators were, of course, Greg Stubley and Terry Smith.
Have a corner in the opening minute of the game. Swung in. It's a little flick on at the near post, and it goes across the 6-yard box. Fortunately for Charlton, nobody in an orange shirt can get on. He looks for the ball, Albie Morgan. He has got a decent pass in Albie Morgan. Can he use it? He looks down the left-hand side, looking for the run of Oshalaja, and he gets there too, into the penalty area. Will he take a shot off? No, tries to find Hemed. Takes the shot, Hemed blocked away, and Charlton's first effort in anger. And a good move.
A corner on the far side, Cullen.
This one's in the air. It's a little flip gone by Hemed. Tip back across. And yes!
Come on!
Well buried the goal. Charlton have the lead. 17 and a half minutes. This time it was a pinpoint corner. It was flicked on by Hemed. Pierce was on hand to bundle it home.
Yeah, Pierce is going to claim that. Great header from Hemed at the near post, though. Got ahead of his man. A lovely backward header. I think goalkeeper might have got something on it. And then Pierce was on hand just to bundle it home. And Charlton have a crucial goal after 18 minutes.
Morgan taking on his man. Cuts inside. Little touch inside to Cullen. Cullen's got Bond. Oh, Bond on one side. Hemed on the other. Finds Hemed. Hemed. Big switch across to McGeady on the opposite side. Corner of the penalty area. McGeady brings it down. Lovely back heel into Oshalaja. Into the penalty area. Drilled across. Oh! How did that not go in? Two players, I think it's Hemed and Bond, launching themselves at the cross ball from Oshalaja, and both missed it.
Oh, great football again from Charlton. I just don't know how that's not gone in, Tel. I really don't.
And as far as De Vries, forward towards Wilkes, it just falls over the ball. Referee allows play to continue, and there's a little nutmeg by Kane to Wilkes. Wilkes ball in the penalty area. Lockie has missed it. It comes to the left. There's Perrin. It comes to Pennington and backwards with a shot from Batty, which is tipped over by Phillips. I was trying to see who was at that far post.
It was Pennington,
who couldn't get his feet in the right angles. Matthews with the throw down line, and there is the half-time whistle here at the KCON Stadium, where Charlton go into the break with a 1-goal lead. Backwards on the halfway line is Pierce, who can bring the ball forward for Charlton. Pierce, diagonal ball looking towards Hemed. It's a decent-looking ball headed up in the air by De Vries. Hemed controls, looking for options. Oh, it's a good ball inside to Morgan with a shot. And
couldn't bring it down.
Over the bar. As you say, the first touch wasn't quite right from Morgan. It just looped the ball up in the air, and it was a half volley. It was harmlessly over, but good play again from
Hemed with the throw for Charlton.
Throw short to Doughty. Doughty looking for a cross. It's a good ball in. Bond with the header.
Oh,
he didn't really attack it. I don't think he expected De Vries to miss it.
I think you're right as well. What a great cross that is from Alfie Doughty. Did well to come short for the ball. Make space. Great cross and picked out Macaulay Bonnie. Will be wondering why he at least didn't get George Long working in that goal.
Hemed needs support. Charlton, no one's really coming short. He passes to McGeady. Now Cullen. Out to the left to Oshalaja. Inside to Doughty. Gets it back to Oshalaja. Oshalaja inside the penalty area. Oshalaja ball across and is cleared away. Just needed to find a Charlton player and couldn't. And Hull bring it away with Honeyman.
Can't get it. De Vries does. Headed up to Wilkes. Wilkes though heads it straight back to Macaulay Bond. Ball down the line. That's looking for Anike. Got into the corner. Anike takes his man on into the penalty area. He's in there. Can he across the line? Oh, flicked away. It's run to Cullen in the penalty area still. Takes a shot.
Oh.
Just over the bar. Well, maybe a lot wider than it might have been. But great work from Chuksunike. Couldn't find Macaulay Bond in the box.
And that's that final ball. It's happened a few times.
Might run to Chuksunike. It does. Goes, heads it past De Vries. Now takes it down. It's got overlapped by McGeady. McGeady takes over. McGeady heading towards the right. Here's Chapelier. Ball in the box. Just beyond Macaulay Bond.
It's a bit early.
And Doherty can't get there. And yeah, I think you're right. Just could have taken another two or three touches. Tee this up. Send it long. Down the straight down the middle looking for McGuinness. Lockyer and Pierce jumps, neither get there, and it's all the way through to Samuelson. Oh, and his shot goes straight to Dylan Phillips, either side of Dylan, and it probably was the equaliser.
Yeah, they were caught off guard there, Charles.
There's Dylan Phillips. Sends this long, and here
come
is
on!
A whistle.
There we go, that was the highlights from yesterday's vital 1-0 win up at Hull City. Jason Pearce grabbing the goal from close range. Not Tom Lockyer, as for some reason I seem to think it was. So I don't know. Terry, I don't know if you felt like you were sat quite far away from the pitch, because that's my current excuse as to how I got those two mixed up. And also my sunglasses were a bit steamed up, but I was convinced it was Tom Lockyer. But, I mean, Piercy, I mean, let's get straight into that goal, Tell. I mean, I don't know if anyone saw the tweet I put out yesterday. Before the game, when we were sort of discussing team news, it still needed to be confirmed that Jason Pearce had actually made it up, because he didn't stay up there with everyone else, because his other half is heavily pregnant. We knew Jason and also George Lapsley were both waiting for children to be born, and Lapo's daughter came today, so congratulations to him. But we knew PSC's wife heavily pregnant, so he stayed at home just in case. And then when he woke up and drove up north at 7 a.m. So that's a commitment you're looking for from your skipper. And then he goes and sticks his face on someone's boot to make sure we get the winning goal as well. Absolutely full throttle there from Jason Pearce.
That was awesome. I mean, to be fair, I mean, obviously we knew that his wife was pregnant, but didn't realise quite how close things were. So I only found out afterwards when we spoke to him that he didn't travel up with the team, and that he only went up there in the morning. And I mean, that's just his commitment to the cause, isn't it? Yeah, and what you'd expect from a warrior like Jason Pearce. And I think on the goal itself, the previous two dead ball situations that Josh Cohen had stuck in didn't fill us full of confidence when he stepped up to take that corner, but he got his spots on. Yeah. And Tommy Hemed did his job by flicking it on. And if there's one person in the side, I mean, to be fair, they all put a shift in yesterday, no question, but if you want one person in the side to actually put his face where he's likely to get a boot in, then it's Jason Pearce, isn't it? And you just that's the man you want on the end of that, and he was there and he buried it. And I think we were worth it as well. I mean, the boys are right. We took a little while to get into it, that's for sure. And that's not surprising. But once we did, and I don't think we were threatened, really, not to this extent where we were fearing for our survival. And it was just fitting in the day that, and you know, considering he put that shift in, considering he said, no, I'm coming up to do my bit, that he was the one that got on the end of the cross.
Yeah, and I mean, the set piece is apparently being, I mean, I think it was Jason who said it himself, apparently, like, it does feel like there's, especially in the German league, there seems to be a lot of set piece goals at the moment. Obviously, teams have been working on those over the course of the lockdown, Ben. I mean, yeah, we took 5 or 6 minutes to get going, but then we did start forcing a few openings. There was a couple of times when Aidan McGeady was given the ball short from a free kick, clearly a tactic, although didn't quite pay off in those opening stages. But it did feel like, Ben, that we were sort of growing in the, you know, in the ascendancy in the game by the time we took the lead.
Yeah, well, especially when we took that chance and we scored, I think it was literally, a couple minutes later. Great passing move, which I mean, shows why Boya put Oshalaja in at left back, because it was a great move and he came forward into the left and put a great ball across the 6-yard box, and Bond was so close to putting it in, and I think Hemed was sliding in at the far post. You think, blimey, look at this. We took a few minutes to get going, but now we're passing it around so well, and it's like we're controlling the game a bit now. But yeah, I think I listened to the podcast Thursday, and you, Lewis, and Tom were saying, you know what, I think we're optimistic, we won't miss Taylor's goals, I'm sure Bond will step up. And I personally was listening to that thinking, I'm not sure, you know, because our last wins against Luton, against Nottingham Forest, Taylor's the one that scored those goals. And I'm thinking, do you know what, I think if we get a set piece, I think that could be where our goal could come from. And it was quite frustrating to see the first couple set pieces. We went short. I don't know. It must have been a training ground move where I give the ball to McGeady, him do a little cut back and try and cross it in like that. So it was nice to see. I don't know if that was a training ground move with Hemed going near post, doing a little Teddy Sheringham flick on. I mean, that was perfect because it fooled the defence, it fooled the keeper. And as Terry said, who else would you want coming in at the back post, shoving their head right there where it's needed, was Jason Pearson. Perfect from us to do that. It was a little bit frustrating before that, but I was worrying where the goals would come from. But look, if they're practicing on set pieces and thinking, look, this is an area where we can really threaten them, it worked, and we took that to our full advantage.
Yeah, Bowyer always talks about set-piece goals being sort of bonus goals, of course, ones that you don't have to create in open play, and ones that I feel like we generally have done quite well with this season. I'm sure I saw a stat shortly before lockdown that suggested we'd scored more from corners than any other team, which is remarkable, really, considering the amount of corners that come to nothing. But I do think we are quite good at creating chances from set-pieces overall. Tom, that first half, I mean, we saw early on Hull, in, I think inside the first minute or so, Hull had a corner that was flicked on at the near post themselves and went across the face of goal. But other than that, you never really felt like they were carving through us or anything like that.
No, not at all. As I say, I think once we rode that initial storm, it was fine. And it's weird because obviously I've watched games on Valley Pass before, or, you know, not been at games before because I don't get to every away game. And you don't really have the same sort of build-up that we had on Saturday because everyone was in it together and it had been so long coming. And the nerves, you could see it on social media. Everyone was really nervous. So I imagine the players were too, and it finally kicks off. And then 2 or 3 minutes in, or maybe I think that first attack or first cross was even in the first few seconds. And you just, I had that horrible sick feeling of we might get battered here, particularly after we've obviously been through that hole before. But we rode that out, and as the guys have said, we started to play our football, and I'm sure we'll come on to some of the individual performances a bit later on, but Albie Morgan in particular, I think, deserves credit. McGeady, another one, sort of creatively going forward, and Bon and Hemed up front. And we started to put some nice moves together and got that goal fairly early on. And as I said, I didn't feel after we'd scored that we were ever really under any real threat. Dills made a couple of good saves, but other than that, it was good, clever defending, you know, moving their attackers into positions they didn't want to be, forcing them to play balls backwards and sideways. And I felt we marshalled them really, really well. And it's one of those things that you know you're going to get from a Bowyer team. And again, we said it on Thursday, he's going to get that team knowing exactly the way they need to play. And things like organisation and discipline, you can teach that on the training ground week after week after week, which he's obviously been able to do over those last few weeks. What you can't do is put them in that match situation, and it was about how they handled that. But I thought they handled it brilliantly.
Yeah, I mean, we did have those chances to extend the lead. I mean, Benji already mentioned that stunning move only 3 or 4 minutes after we opened the scoring that had that superb crossfield pass from Tom Ahmed, and I think it was McGeady who touched it on for Oshalaja with a nice back heel. Oshalaja whipped it across the face of goal, and Hemed and Bon were very close to touching it in. When we saw a header from Bon that went just wide in the second half, and a couple of darts into the area on the left-hand side from Anike and Oshalaja as well. So, I mean, it was one of those ones, Terry. I mean, Benji's talked about the worry about the lack of goals, and we'll hear what you asked Bo later on as well in the interview, Tel. But if there is any sort of downside from yesterday, is the fact that maybe we didn't grab one more. I think McCauley as well will be thinking, you know, he was extremely unlucky not to get a toe onto that one that came across the face of goal. The header he put wide, I think he probably expected the defender to get there before him in the start of the second half. But I guess, considering the pressure that's going to be on him now, McCauley Bon with Lyle Taylor out, I'm guessing he's hoping he's going to get off the mark sooner rather than later in this little 9-game sprint.
Yeah, I agree. I think I said earlier on, I think they all put a shift in. I think if you're going to be critical at all, and I don't want to be, by the way, and it's not meant in that way, but McCauley probably was probably just a little bit off the pace, and that's understandable. You know, when you've had, especially for strikers, when you've had that layoff, that sharpness takes a little while to come, and we know he can do it. We've seen it before, so I'm not worried particularly. And I think 2 or 3 games in, by that time, he'd have found his feet, he'd got the sharpness back that you can only get when you actually play games. Not, you can't replicate that in training. So yeah, if we wanted the best, then you'd hit the ground running and everybody's sharp and you put away those chances. I think Lebo had already said in the build-up to this, in the games that we have played behind closed doors, the Arsenal one and the Fulham one, we were creating chances, just not burying them. And it was a similar story, to be fair. Mm. But as long as we're creating chances, and if everybody can stay fit, then the likes of Macaulay Barnes, the likes of Tom Hemed, who also put a great shift in yesterday, even Chuck Sonigo when he came on, looked threatening. His first touch wasn't quite there, but then again, you've got to expect that a little bit. If they can get that sharpness in two or three games and a few more, hard training sessions, then it bodes well.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, let's have a look at some of those individual performances then, Ben, because we've mentioned some of them already, really. But I mean, let's start off with Tom Ahmed then, a player who probably hasn't had the best of times this season. He's never really had a run of games, hasn't been able to start too many. I think his best performance before yesterday was probably away at Nottingham Forest, but I'd say yesterday was probably up there with the best we've seen from him so far.
Yeah, you're right. I think Forest, I was there that night and he had a good game. I think his game models around holding it up, laying it off to the other strikers, becoming a bit of a nuisance to the defenders, showing a bit of strength to them. And I think he replicated that yesterday. A few nice little flicks from him to show that, do you know what, I can play with my feet as well as my head. And he just made problems for him. And with Boya playing two up top, just offered us a bit more of an attacking threat. And I know Bond played on the wing a little bit as well. But, yeah, I couldn't ask any more of Tommy yesterday. Obviously, a goal would have been nice. But I think that chance he had more fell to Bond a little bit more. But, no, good performance. And, look, if you're not going to score, just give us 100%. Keep running. Make a nuisance. Put the defenders under pressure. And I think that's exactly what he did for me.
Yeah. And another player who stood out for me yesterday, and I know he certainly stood out for you, Tom, judging by your remarks on Twitter, was Albie Morgan. He's found his chances sort of few and far between as the season's progressed. I think, Lee Bailey was quite scathing of him in interviews around sort of like the turn of the year around then, about how he says he doesn't track back as much as he'd like. But he's full of praise from yesterday. He says Albie's come back looking a lot fitter. And I mean, we know his game. We know he can pass the ball, and he was showing that off quite a lot yesterday.
Yeah, I think what I've found frustrating is, and obviously I'm not the manager of Charlton, my job doesn't ride on these decisions, but for me, the quality he's got going forward, and I know people aren't going to know Albie Morgan outside of Charlton, but some of the passes he was playing yesterday and some of the passes he played at the back end of last season, that talent is, you just cannot teach that. And it just seems right at the very top of the game. And I completely get where Boya's coming from. And again, I'm not a manager. I don't necessarily see that side of the game as much. But if Boya says he's not tracking back enough, and he pointed specific examples in an interview I remember one time to a specific couple of goals. And if you do watch those, it's very clear that he is not doing that side of the game. And Boya wants him to do it. And Boya is there to train young players and to teach them and to make them better. So I fully get why he needed to do that. Having said all that, I just think what he gives us going forward, I almost want to, and I think I've said it in previous seasons as well, I almost want to just allow him to do that and build a side behind him that allows him to do it. But Boya's not going to let him get away with that, and rightly so. And to be fair to Morgan yesterday, he did track back a couple of times as well, made a couple of great tackles. But I just thought, all-round game yesterday, he was man of the match for me by a long way. And I think why I was so worried about what Boya said at last season was I thought he was someone that might slip through the net. And it might be down to Morgan himself to sort his game out. But I thought, if we let him go, there's a real player in there that somebody else is going to take a chance on. And I didn't want that to be the case. And he's got a real opportunity here, if he can keep playing like he did yesterday, to stake a claim, earn a new contract. And I really think if he does, we've got a dangerous player on our hands. Mm,
yeah, a couple of others that stood out for me yesterday, Tel. I mean, we've already mentioned Chucks and EK. Yeah, he did say about his first touch. Probably the best run he had, he stumbled as he picked it up. But he got in towards the byline and unable to pick a cross out, similar with what we saw with Deji. But another one who stood out, who was definitely putting in a different performance than what we've seen before, was Aidan McGeady. That's the first time I've seen him look lively with the ball at his feet. I think it's fair to say his final ball was off every time. There's still clearly room for improvement there, but he's certainly put in a much livelier performance than I've got used to seeing from him so far.
I'd agree with that. And to be fair, you can pick out a number of players, not just those that as I said earlier on, that, you know, they all sort of shifted. You can question a few of the first touches, the crosses weren't quite on point. You know, the reading of the game wasn't quite sharp enough in certain areas. But there isn't one of them that didn't put a shift in. And Aidan McGeady was the same. I mean, he was backtracking on several occasions as well, helping out the defence. And you could see that touch was there. You can see he's a talented player, and anybody who's watched him in the past will know how good he has been. And if he can get close to being as good as he was, then we've got a player on our hands that could do something for us. Because we are missing that. If we're going to, you know, if we're going to be ultra critical of our squad, then you can say we are missing that sort of player who can make something happen. You know, that we've lost with the likes of maybe Joe Rebo going, and Conor Gallagher, obviously, who we had earlier on loan, is another one. So, you know, we need the likes of somebody potentially like Aidan McGeady, who can open up defences. If he's fit and he's on point, then he's going to be some player. And I sort of agree with Tom. I think if Albie had stayed on for the whole game, he'd have been my man of the match without question, because he was inspired yesterday. And when, you know, I hope that somebody can get hold of Albie and say, look, don't take it personally. If someone's going to have a go at you because you're not tracking back, if the manager, don't take it personally. Take it like that's how you've got to improve. Because if he adds that to his game, then he's going to be some player. He is really going to be some player. And funnily enough, we had a conversation over the phone and on the cars on the way up in between us. And we're saying, you know, what could we do with a Conor Gallagher or somebody of that ilk? And we looked in the squad, you know, we questioned who could be in the squad that could do something like that. And Albie Morgan was the name that came up because we know he's got the ability. No question he's got the ability.
Excellent stuff. Right, I mean, just before we go into hear from Lee Bowyer then, Ben, I mean, what was the atmosphere like at the house party as we went into the closing stages? Because, you know, any time it's still 1-0, you're always fearful. I think the only time we really fell asleep in terms of defensively was about 5 minutes from then, with that long ball over the top. Both the centre halves missed it, and I think it was Samuelson who had a shot that was parried away by Dylan Phillips in the end. I mean, was there nerves there? Did you feel like we were going to comfortably hold on?
I think there's always nerves with us, isn't there? It's just always, this season's been, unfortunately, where we've been either drawing or winning going in. I mean, Hull at home was a perfect example of that, wasn't it? When, what was it, 96th minute they equalised in? So, yeah, this season seems like a common denominator for that. But, look, I really was quite confident going in. And it seemed the way, I think more people were going, where's my hot dog, where's my burger coming from? But, no, again, what the lads have said, it was a real professional digging performance. And I thought Prattley sat well in front of the back four. My man of the match was Josh Cullen. I thought he was brilliant. And when you look at a game for me with performance, and of course, as you said, first touches are going to be a bit off. We've watched Premier League games where the best Premier League players, their first touch hasn't been there. But if you're winning the 50-50s, that's what matters. And for me, when there was a corner coming in from Hull and it bounced clear, Josh Cullen was there so many times going, that's my ball, clear it, bang, we're away again. Darren Prattley was there doing exactly the same thing. And when Sam Field come on, it was good to see him back again. We haven't seen him for a long, long time. And he did exactly the same, just copied that spirit of what the team was doing. But yeah, I think everyone around here, we were all quite confident in the end. They didn't really test Dylan as much, and we were a very resolute, organised side.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's have a listen to Lee Bowyer's post-match press conference, the Addicts boss. Well, he spoke to myself and Terry, but like I said earlier, it was over Zoom, so the sound quality for our questions isn't the best, but Bowyer's coming through loud and clear. Don't forget, after we hear from Bowyer, we're also going to read out some of your views about the game yesterday. We'll have our own little discussion about what it's like working and watching in the new normal, as they've been calling it, and we'll try and discuss what the result has done for our prospects of staying up this season. But first things first, let's have a listen to what Lee Bayer had to say after yesterday's game. I asked him what he made of his side's performance in the vital victory up at Hull.
Yeah, I think it was well deserved. I think from the first whistle, I think we was at it. We looked sharp this week, building up to it. I said to the players, they've had a good week and they're ready to go, and they showed that. So to get the goal quite early on was nice. I think we settled down after that and we got into some very good areas. I think I thought that on another day we could have maybe scored another two or three goals if the quality was a little bit better in the final third, picking out the right pass. But yeah, overall clean sheet as well. So yeah, very, very pleased.
And obviously having come back from such a long break, but now to go into this run of nine games in a really short time span, it's important, I guess, to get that momentum to take you into the remaining games.
Yeah, the good thing is that if you can get off to a winning start, like now we're at the bottom three, and now it's in our hands, you know, and I believe in the players, and I've said that all the way along. Like once we get out, then now it's down to us, and now we've got a week to prepare for QPR. It's going to be another tough game, but I've just said to them, look, another game that we can win if we do the right things. So yeah, it's a good start, but that's, it's not over yet, you know. We've got to keep fighting for every point, and the players done that today. I'm really proud of them.
And I'm sure every manager is going to be asked exactly the same question this weekend. But how did you find it with the different circumstances? Of course, you know, Chant would normally be backed by a rowdy away end here, but there's no fans. I guess you have to change your routines a little bit as well. How did you find adapting to the new normal?
Fine, like that's what you have to do is adapt, and we played a couple of games, obviously one at our place and one at Arsenal. Mm-hmm. So yeah, just to get them used to it, you know, it is strange, and it's crazy, because normally if you was to shout something on my perspective, if I was to shout something mm-hmm. on, then no one really can hear apart from the person I'm trying to tell. But now if I shout something on, the whole, like the next bench to me, hear what I'm trying to give as an instruction, you know. So that's something that we have to be careful of. But yeah, it's strange times. But the most important thing is that we're back playing and we've got off to a winning start.
Mm. And obviously with the running that you're going to have being so intense, I guess it's a chance for a lot of the players who haven't perhaps played as much as they'd want to through to injuries or other reasons to try and impress. So I thought the likes of Albie Morgan and Chucks when he came on today looked impressive. And it's almost like having two new signings coming back from such a long spell with two bodies who are ready to add something extra to the squad like that.
Yeah, and it's give others an opportunity. I said, like, when doors closes for some people, then it opens up doors for others. Tam Ahmed, I think that's only his like second or third start for us. I thought he worked really hard. He worked really hard for us, him and Maka. I thought everyone worked so hard as a team, and you could tell how hungry they were to win. But Chucks, like, fair play to Chucks on Thursday. He wasn't down to travel with us. But he come up to me. We was going to give him an extra couple of days to make sure that he's over this little groin problem he had. And he come up to me and said, look, I want to be part of this. And that's what we need, people that are willing to put their body on the line and fight. And Chuck's done that today. Him and Johnny Williams coming off the bench, excellent. Like, worked so hard. Chuck's caused them problems. Young Albie, like, he's just come back into the frame because he took care of himself when we was on lockdown. He worked really hard. He looks so much fitter than what he did when he left. So, yeah. Aidan McGeady, the same. So much fitter than the player we got in January. And he looks good, you know. He's a threat. Whenever you get him the ball in and around the 18, he could call something.
And of course, from a tactical point of view, with the extra subs allowed, does that give you something different to think about, the way you might go into to try and manage a game when you know you can make these extra ones, but you've got to worry about the the spells in which you can make them. You can only make them at three separate occasions. Is that sort of another level for you to have to sort of think about?
Yeah, something that, again, you just have to try and think outside the box at times. Obviously, the bigger the squad and the stronger the squad, the more beneficial it is to have them five subs. And I think as the way we used them today, it worked. Fieldy come on at a good time when we needed a bit of solidarity in the middle of the park because they had the extra man in there all day. And Chuck's come on and give us a bit more pace up top, and his physicality, very strong and powerful boy. And Johnny Williams with his little trickery, and he bought us a couple of fouls when we needed to relieve a bit of pressure. So, I thought Alfie Doherty getting the ball and running and creating problems. So, yeah, the sub's done well.
And just finally, before I hand over to Terry, it wouldn't be a Charlton interview, unfortunately, without asking about a couple of injuries. The club said that Andre Green, Lewis Page and Jake Forsikowski had slight niggles. Is there anything to worry about, or should they be okay?
Jake could be fine. Page, maybe a week or 10 days. And who was the other one? Greeny will be okay. He's just got a bit of a sore ankle, but he's going to be okay, yeah.
Terry, do you want to go next?
Yep, hi Lee.
Hi, Tal.
Congratulations, mate, first of all. Superb result. Does it matter who it was against today? I mean, I know in the table it's good because we leapfrog Haaland and a few other teams, but was it more about just getting the 3 points, getting a win in this run of 9 games?
Yeah, if you break it down to 9 games, then the most important thing is to keep this club in a division. That's all I'm thinking. Doesn't matter how you do it, who you play, who you beat, who you don't beat. The most important thing is that you have enough points on the board come the 22nd of July. That's all I care about. So today it was tough and at times it wasn't pretty, and we had to dig deep and compete and fight for things. And that's what we've done. So, it doesn't matter how you get the points. Most important thing is that points are on the board and we've climbed a couple of places.
Do you take any not advice is probably the wrong word, but you've seen some of the games, I'm guessing, that have already been played on the telly behind closed doors with no fans, and quite a few of them have been very cagey affairs. Do you take any lessons from the way they played out into the way you set your team up today?
No. I have to. What I have had to do is once we came back from lockdown, is figure out how we can win games with the group of players that are left over. Obviously, we had a few that decided to step away, and so then that was like, okay, so this is what we now have to deal with, and how can we win games with this group? The same as what I've always done, you know, but we've just had to adjust a little bit because of people have gone away. So, the lads have been a credit, you know. We've played a formation here today that we haven't played all season. And we've worked really hard in the last 2 weeks. In the beginning, they was a bit rusty with it. But this week leading up into the game, they've been excellent. Like, really, really good. And I'm really pleased for them to adapt the way they have in such a short space of time. They're a credit.
Are you saying that putting Deji out on the left, which is something that we've not seen before, so... people or supporters watching in would have looked at that and maybe raised a few eyebrows, but what a shift he put in, and not the only one. Everybody did, of course. But I think he'll feel the pain tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, he'll have an headache. He's got a big cut on his head. Deji was very good, I think. Both their wingers are all left-footed, Wilkes and the other fella at Stied, so they're always going to drive inside, which is Deji's stronger foot. So... that was a big part of why he played there today. And I know what he brings me going forward. I remember like Forrest at home. Okay, he played right back, but he gave us an outlet, you know. And Albie would naturally be narrow. As he wouldn't be an out-and-out winger. He would be narrow, so that left a space for Deji, which I know is very good. And we rehearsed it a bit on Tuesday, and he was excellent. So, Deji grabbed that opportunity, and that's what happens. Like, you need people to step up, and he done that.
You mentioned on Thursday that in the build-up to today, we'd created a lot of chances in the games we played, and we'd done the same thing again today. Obviously, scored the one, but being the perfectionist you are, will you be going back to them saying that they got to start trying to convert some more of those chances?
Yeah, I said that at half-time, and I said that after the game. Like, yeah, of course I'm going to praise him because we've just got 3 points away from home. But my job is to keep improving them, and that's what I will do. I will always push them. I said if there's anything negative that I've taken from that is the final pass, because we got there 3, 4, 5 times. But we didn't finish them off, and we should have done. But the good thing is we're creating chances, you know, and we're getting to them areas through good football. So that's the most important thing, because if you wasn't doing that, then there's something to worry about. But it will come, and you've got to remember that this is new to them, so they will get better at it, and they're going to be a bit rusty because it's been a long time away from the game and such a short time to try and get ready with the ball. So that they will get better in that final third, I have no doubt.
Finally from me then, we started the season, the 9 games we had, I think we won 5, drew 2. Would you be looking for a repeat of that in the final 9?
I'll take that. I'll take that, because that keeps us up. So, and that's all I care about is that we're still up and in the championship next season. Whatever way we do it, that's all I care about. So if you want to give me 5 wins and 2 draws, I'll take that, please.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's shot.
Yes!
Oh, it's
in!
Oh, he scores! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Cullen has scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Guess it! Come on! What a time to be a hero here at Wembley! Oh my word! Oh my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back. That was Lee Bay speaking to myself and Terry after yesterday's 1-0 win up at Hull City. Tom, I mean, clearly he's pleased with what he saw. You know, I asked him, you know, as a manager, he had to contend with a few different things. Obviously, the lack of crowd and the changing in your sort of routines for the game. And also, obviously, added to the fact now he can make up to 5 subs over the course of three separate occasions. So it's a new tactical dimension that the manager has to think about. But, I mean, he seemed to utilise his subs quite well yesterday.
Yeah, and as you say, something that he won't have been used to doing necessarily, and it was a difficult one really, and I heard Terry and Greg talking about it in the commentary as we started to get into that second half. You know, when is he going to make these changes and who's he going to bring on? And there was a lot of talk about more of the defensive players coming on, and you know, obviously I've got a slight bias towards Johnny Williams, but for me it was about getting someone like him on as well to stretch the play when we got the ball and try and push them back, because you didn't want to invite too much pressure on. And I thought he managed that very carefully. Obviously, the likes of Sam Field did come on, and Purrington, to shore up that defensive side. But then he also brought a couple of attacking players on as well, just to ensure that we didn't just sit back too much, because we were sitting further and further deep in that second half. So I thought he managed the game really well. And again, it's something that we know Boyer is good at doing. And he hasn't really had enough of a bench through most of this season to really, you know, he's had his hands tied behind his back, if you like, but he's got pretty much a full squad now, barring the players who obviously weren't there, who I don't think we need to talk about. And he's got a lot of options. And with that extended bench and with those additional substitutes, you know, we've got a good squad there. And to be able to change the game like that with people like Anike, like Williams, who can come on and stretch defences, it's just going to really add an extra dimension to our game, which I think gives him, you know, an extra card in his hand, if you like.
Yeah, and Tom, while I've got you then, so obviously I've already spoken to Ben what it was like having, you know, a different view of the game, watching it on the laptop, basically. I mean, you've done it before a few times, I guess. If you have a midweek away game, it's possible to do that. But how did you find it? Did you find it lessened your enjoyment of the game at all? Did you find it harder to get into, or was it just like business as usual as far as you were concerned?
Definitely not harder to get into. For me, I was full of nerves all day, which, as I say, normally, obviously on a home Saturday or an away game I'm going to, you're either heading to the Valley or you're travelling off with your mates to an away game, so you're kind of focusing. But on a Saturday, it's very rare that I'll just be sat here on a Saturday, because the reason I wouldn't be going to an away game is because I've got something else going on. So to just be sat here all day waiting for 3 o'clock was torture. And then when it kicked off and we started nervously, again, the nerves kicked up a bit. But, yeah, I was more invested in that game than I usually am on a game via Valley Pass. And I think it's partly because I knew how much was riding on the game, and partly because it's been so long since we saw football. So no less of an experience, a very different one for sure. And I'm sure by the end of this season, I'll be sick of the sight of, or the voice of Greg and Tell, and ready to be back in the Valley. But for now, it's the next best thing. It's what we're all having to consume our football, unfortunately, via TV or laptops. And, you know, at least we're able to do that. And obviously the players aren't going to know that. But for me, it didn't lessen the experience at all. It was just a different way of consuming it, I guess.
All right, let's have a look at that league table then, because as pointed out by Jimmy Stone yesterday, imagine how the injustice if we'd gone down on points per game when, like, 20 minutes into the restart, we've climbed up to 19th in the league table. And that's where we sit now. We leapfrogged Hull, Middlesbrough and Huddersfield Town after all three teams were beaten yesterday. Middlesbrough, of course, beaten heavily at home by Swansea. Hull beaten by us. Huddersfield were beaten at home by Wigan, who have picked up where they left off, it would seem, after the restart. I mean, Tell, we're now 1 point above the relegation zone. You know, on the same points as Huddersfield, 1 point above Middlesbrough and Hull City. It's easy to get carried away because we've won yesterday, and this has always been the case, no matter, you know, whether it's lockdown or not. We've always got carried away after a win, but we're definitely staying up now, aren't we?
Yeah, let's get carried away. I've got to say that immediately after the game, I was extremely tempted to tweet something out or to message something out about this points per game nonsense. If I'd have had Howard Wilkinson's address, I'd have probably drove there just to tell him myself. But then I thought, well, actually, let's hold on for a couple of weeks, just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
But it does make a mockery of it, because, you know, as we knew beforehand, because, if they'd have stopped the week before, we wouldn't have been in there, we'd be safe. And now if they stop it, we'd be safe again. It's just utter nonsense that they even considered it, to be honest. But do you know what? I think for me, the few things that I was thinking about on a drive back, one was just how poor Hull were for a start. I mean, I know they went into the game, when they finished before the lockdown, they hadn't won a game in 12. So they were obviously on a poor run anyway, but because they got rid of their two best players in January. They're also losing, best part of four or five players very shortly as well. And their best player that they got left, which was Wilkes, isn't it? He's going in a couple of games and won't play again. So they're going to be in real trouble, Hull. But the other one was that sort of sneaked up on me a bit when I looked at it. So it was Huddersfield. When you consider what they did to us up at their place before it all stopped, it's just utterly surprising that they're in that position. So, you know, they're going to be looking over their shoulder more so than most, them and Middlesbrough, because, you know, people perceive them to, the general public, I think, perceive them to be clubs that shouldn't be anywhere near there. especially Huddersfield having just come down from the Prem. So I think they're gonna be in trouble. The pressure is gonna be much more on them than it is on us.
Yeah, it certainly is. Ben, do you think the momentum that you pick up from a win in the opening day? I mean, you've had the massive build up to the game. Obviously, 3 months worth of speculation as to whether the football is going to continue, and then we know we're coming back, and you go into this game and it's huge, and we get the 3 points. I mean, do you think that momentum and could sort of that confidence that we'll gain from that game can hold us in good stead when we come to QPR next Saturday?
Massively, yes, massively for me. Was going into the game thinking, obviously, big build up to the game. We've had a lot of time to prepare for it. And Bowie up hit the nail on the head in the week, and he said, look, I told you early, the press, I wanted to know when I went into training, who's going to play for me and who's not. We found that out early, and then we had a core group to go with and said, right, this is our aim, let's go. Whereas Hull, I think it was 2 or 3 days before, we found out their captain's not going to play, their vice captain's not going to play. Great news for us, disrupts the team. And yeah, it doesn't look good for Hull. They've had a dreadful record since January. Middlesbrough again, they beat us in the last game. And that was, well, big mistake we gave them in that game to give them the goal. And then dreadful result for them. What, they're 3-0 down after half an hour. There's other teams now looking down, whereas we are looking up. We've come through a bad spell. We've revitalised. We've got players back from injury that we didn't think would play again this season, i.e. Sam Field. Hopefully Jake Forsikowski will play a part as well. But look, we got a big squad to play, and it even showed. I mean, we were looking forward to these subs coming on. As Tom said, we were looking forward to Johnny Williams coming on, stretching the game. We got Ozuma on the bench to do exactly the same. And Andre Green, hopefully, as well. I was looking at the team sheet and thinking, oh, no, because I think he's been a good signing for us. So, yeah, definitely for me, I thought, you know what, as long as we don't lose, especially against a team that's down there with us, as long as we start off with a point away from home or 3 points, but to get 3 points, massive. Mm. Give them a real good cushion going on. And look, QPR, they lost yesterday at home to Barnsley, who are down there. So they're there for the taking. I think a lot of teams around them won. So reality, they're not fighting for much now. They look like they're mid-table. So they're there for the taking. So hopefully, and now we can kick on from that result, especially missing a few players as well.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, let's have a look at some of the correspondence that's come in. Scott Jones tweeted in, Millwall will play such a significant part in deciding who stays up and who goes down. Rarely do they do us a favour. There is a slim chance they could still get into the playoffs, but realistically they have nothing left to play for except bragging rights in the derby game that we have at the Valley coming up. Yeah, so you look at Millwall still to play Barnsley, ourselves, Middlesbrough, Hull and Huddersfield. In the running, Tom. I mean, it sounds like they didn't do too well. I was listening to Far Post Radio London podcast on the way home yesterday and heard Gary Rowett speaking, and they didn't start off too sharp. So it's not a nice position to be, to have to rely on them for a favour. I'd rather it's us just getting our work done before the end of the season.
Yeah, and as you say, they don't very often do us a favour, do they? So, no, I wouldn't want to rely on them, but as the other guys have said, and I think Boya said it yesterday as well, we don't have to rely on them because it's in our own hands now. If we go about our business now, we're out of the relegation zone and we'll be absolutely fine. And yes, it's a big ask to win all our remaining 8 games, and I'm not necessarily expecting us to do that. But as Benji just said there, I think it's probably too early to start talking about momentum, but the confidence that win is going to give us after that amount of time away is surely going to bode well for the players. And I think for us, it's about focusing on ourselves. We know that Millwall game is going to hang over us until it's done, particularly given the record. But there are, even without that, 7 other games in there that we're more than capable of getting points for. So I think Boya's going to be pretty careful at making sure we don't just focus on one game and we don't focus on what anybody else is doing, and we just focus on what we're doing, take it a game at a time. And I do think we've got enough in that side to be okay.
Excellent stuff. Right, Darren Norton tweeted in saying, relief not to concede in the last few minutes, as we've done on so many occasions this season. Spencer said, we looked solid at the back and created a few chances. Good all-round performance. Matthews and Morgan were very good. Yeah, we haven't really mentioned Adam Matthews, Tell. He shoring up on the right-hand side. Obviously, he's going to be in demand in that position with Chris Solly stepping away from the squad. So it was good to see that he sort of picked up where he left off as well before lockdown.
Yeah, I said earlier on that Albie Morgan, if he'd have stayed on for the 90, probably would have been my man of the match. But Adam Matthews was my man of the match, without question. I mean, there was one particular time in the first half where Wilkes looked like he'd skinned him. He got past him. He seemed to knock the ball past him. And it was by his own mistake as well. He'd given the ball away, Adam Matthews, for I think the only time he'd done it the whole game. But he got back, showed his pace, he got back. Not only did he get back, he then put the challenge in and came away with the ball. I thought it was outstanding yesterday.
Excellent stuff. Right, Dom says, quality performance all round. Also hilarious how many fans were eating their words afterwards about Lee Bayer's team selection. By the way, did anyone notice that Deji Oshalar just switched football boots at halftime? It must have been the reason for his vastly improved second half performance. Did you notice that, Ben? I had to say I didn't notice that. Well, I mean, I thought Deji played well yesterday. He had a couple of shaky moments early on, but I mean, he definitely improved as the game went on. And as Dom said in the second half, he was good. And he had a couple of darts into the penalty area, and he just that crossed the first time. If he'd picked out someone there, that would have been a certain goal.
Yeah, I didn't notice the boot change, but I think he was good in both halves for me. Obviously, see his Charlton career, he's been played in a number of positions. He's been played as centre-back, right-back, sat in front of the back four. I've noticed for a few games when we were pretty light in the midfield. And left-back was another new change for him. And I thought he took it really well. And I was quite surprised how well he got forward. Put a few good balls across. Of course, he's going to get caught out a few times. I'm sure he'll tell you left-back's not his position. But, yeah. Likewise with the rest of the guys, 100% effort he put in, and I thought he dealt well with playing the left back.
Good stuff. Right, Matt says, a good overall performance, easily Hemed's best performance. Bond perhaps a little bit rusty though, have a feeling that some players such as Albie Morgan are definitely playing for new deals, and that ultimately could help us stay up. 19CFC05 says, just want to say, what a shift by Hemed yesterday. He looked like a new signing. Defo, his best performance in a Charlton shirt. Luke says, I thought we looked really solid defensively yesterday. Hull didn't really look like scoring. I thought the standout performers were Morgan and Matthews. Matthews is definitely our most underrated player. He doesn't get enough credit. Luke mentions there that Hull didn't really look at it. And we have sort of talked about they've lost these players. And I mean, I said, you know, in the build-up to the game that, you know, surely the form that they were showing goes out the window. But you do have to take into account the fact that form has come since they lost those two players. And as you said, they've now lost three or four more. I mean, they're going to be really up against it to stay up here.
It's you know, you say that you know, they say form doesn't, but form goes out the window, and to a certain extent I'd agree with that. But when you put yourself in the position that Hull's in and what's happened to them, then you've got to take it into account, because it really did affect them. I mean, the first actually probably the whole game, but certainly the first half hour, they were putting crosses, were sailing over everybody's head. They just didn't seem to get anything right, and that's down to not trusting yourself, I guess, and that's down to confidence. And I think it showed yesterday. There were a couple of half chances, but nothing really that should worry Dylan Phillips, and didn't. And yeah, of course, towards the end, you're always panicking a little bit when they brought somebody who I think he's scored three goals, isn't he, Josh?
Three goals.
And he didn't score many for us. So you think, well, you know, he's not going to cause us too many problems. But ex-player syndrome, you think he's nailed on to score a bag of brace against us. But and he put a shift in. You know, you could see he was working hard, but there just wasn't that threat. It just didn't happen. And I wouldn't say comfortable, but Benji said it earlier, and Tom said it, I didn't really feel that they threatened us at all.
Yeah. Well, Josh McGuinness was a 20-goal striker for us, although it did take two seasons rather than one. But yeah, he did get 20. Right, Smithy, talking about Hemed, said he was Jan-like, almost, or potentially, maybe not. He was good, though. Chris Worsley says, we are so lucky to have Bowyer in charge. He started at least four players that most fans would never have. If we had left with nothing, he would have faced a lot of criticism. It was a masterclass. I just hope he gets the backing he deserves, or fear he will have taken us as far as he can. John Rees says that It was Hemed De Bruyne yesterday. I guess he's talking about that that raking crossfield pass we saw. Cassidy says Hemed feels like a new signing, and McGeady finally showed some moments of class that we know he has. Excited to see more from both. I still feel that Dylan will be the key to keeping us up. Scoring is important, keeping them out at the other end more so. Football is finally back. Adam got in contact with us and said, thoughts on the Hull game. Surprised how fit we look compared to Hull. Either they were very off or we have been training well. Rotation will be important, and it's reassuring that even with the three missing, we have a fairly decent squad. No injuries, and we will survive. And Lawrence says, amazing result yesterday. We defended and gave plenty of heart attacks, but never looked uncomfortable. I am glad we won, but we need to be able to put what chances we have away. Standout performances were Cullen, Morgan and Hemed. And EK looked very good too. Thanks to Terry and Greg for my first Valley Pass game. Comms were awesome, and I will be subscribing for next season. There you go, Terry. That's one good thing that comes out of this. It's like a 9-game advert for Valley Pass for people who normally go to games, I guess.
Yeah, he says that now, but like Thomas said earlier, they were sick of the sound of me by give it 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, I hadn't seen you for 3 months. By half time, I was like, for God's sake, you again.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, right. Excellent stuff. Right. Nearly time to sign off for this week. Obviously, we'll be back on Thursday. Sort of like in any other business part of it. One thing. I mean, obviously, Ben, the new owner, was there yesterday. Obviously, still deeply suspicious about what he's doing there, but he was there yesterday. What have you made of it so far? We're still waiting for any sense of indication that he's going to be passed by the EFL. Peter Varney still seems to be in conversation with him. Do you read too much into him turning up, or do you think he's just keeping up appearances a little bit by being at the KCOM yesterday?
Bit of the unknown, really. Yeah, I saw him at the bottom of the stream, right towards the end. The camera, obviously you wouldn't have seen it, but the camera panned to the back of the stand, and I saw him like really fist pumping in the air, turning around to Chris and Sue Parks and saying, "Well, we done it," kind of thing. So he showed a lot of passion, but yes, very much the unknown at the moment. Obviously, he was down at the training ground in the week, chatting to Boya and some of the players. So look, at least he's showing a face. I can't knock the guy because we don't really know what's happening at the moment. But look, it was good to see him at the game yesterday. If he is going to be a regular face around the place, we don't know yet. We're hearing different things on Twitter from Varney and stuff like that, so we're just not sure. But look, if he wasn't there, I'm sure people would have moaned it. Look, where was he, kind of thing. So he was there, he showed some passion, and that's what we want to see.
Yeah, but yeah, like you say, I'm really not going to read too much into it. The fact he showed up, I think he's Manchester based as well, so only a short hop for him. But yeah, interesting to see if anything's going to change in that respect over the course of the next few weeks. Right, I think we're going to call it a day here. Apologies, like I say, that we couldn't go out live at some point. Hopefully I'll get it sorted, but I really don't know how to do that, so I'm going to try and get in contact with our guy. But yeah, thanks to all of you who listened and who got involved with this evening's show at short notice. Thank you to Terry, to Ben, and for Tom for joining us here.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Cheers to Lee Bowyer, of course, for speaking with us after the game yesterday and for therefore getting to come on the pod. I hope you've enjoyed the show. Well done to the lads for picking up a massive 3 points yesterday. We look forward. We'll be back here on Thursday to do a big match preview ahead of next Saturday's home game with QPR. But we'll sign off for now. I've been Louis Mendes. Thanks for listening, and we shall see you next week.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.